this morning for that powerful truth we've just sung. Lord, I hope we've really understood what we really just said to you. Lord, that you would take our entire lives, everything we are, everything we have, everything we hope to be, our plans, our dreams, as we talked about last week in our journey about dying to self, that we give ourselves to your call, to your plan. Lord, that our whole life is yours. And then I pray this morning, Lord, as we dive into your word in a few moments, that Lord, as you reveal to us by your word, that there are some things in our lives that perhaps they are our life, some part of it is not yours yet. That we've held on to a part of our lives, whether it's our finances, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a child, whether it's a parent, whether it's a medical condition, whatever it may be, that we say, Lord, here is my life. I lay it down before the one who can do all things, who has the perfect plan, who has all of the resources that we need in order to live this life that you have put before us. The best place to live is in a place of surrender to you, Lord. Forgive us when we think we've got it all figured out and we only need you when we're in a pinch or we're in a bind. But Lord, we'd surrender to you every day. We'd wake up every day with that song on our lips. Lord, here I stand, arms open wide, ready to receive that which you want to pour into my life. Lord, we need you this morning. How I pray by the power of your word that will be read this morning, that we will study together, that we will learn together, that you would transform our lives. We want to just come and say, well, I went to church, it was nice, it was good, the music was good, the sermon wasn't too long, I got out a decent time. But God, that we would have walked out of this place, that we've encountered the living God, for that's why we're here, is to meet with you and to hear from you and to let you speak into our lives. And for us to tell you, Lord, how much we love you. Lord, how we declare to you that your grace is enough and that our God saves. Thank you that you saved today. Thank you that you saved the boy on November the 7th, 1979. He was not worthy of your salvation, but you saved me. I pray for a person here this morning that has never understood that our God saves. That today would be their day, that they are rescued from hell itself to live this beautiful life in Christ. God, speak to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you take a look at this real quick?
When Irma hits, when homes are broken, when everything familiar is washed away, all is not lost. We are here today, tomorrow, and until the work is done. We are Send Relief. Most everywhere Irma has been, we are there, and we'll stay there. 100% of your gifts to Send Relief will help rebuild homes, families, and lives caught in Irma's path, as well as deliver the basics of life and the love of Jesus to hurting people. You can help tell someone that all is not lost. Go to sendrelief.net to give or volunteer.
Great news, you don't have to go there and call that number. We're going to put before you October 13, 14, and 15. We were going to go to Orange, Texas. This was an Irma clip, but Harvey also has done massive damage, both these hurricanes. And our Southern Baptist resources are really stretched thin. And so they are pleading for volunteers to come and to try to and relieve those that have been serving. They're still serving over 100,000 meals in Florida a day. They're still serving thousands of meals in Texas, plus all the jobs. I do know that in the area in Orange, Texas, where we're going to go, they've received well over 200 jobs that need to be done. They've only been able to complete 77 thus far. So if you can imagine, if you have no flood insurance, you have no resources, and you're waiting and praying for somebody to come and help, you have the incredible opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus and help. You don't have to be trained. You don't have to. They will do the training there on the spot. They'll take care of what you need. We'll get you the resources, supplies you need. Brad Amaker and Eric Williams. Brad, raise your hand over here. Brad and Eric, where are you? Eric, both sides. So you can go to either side of the building. I'm asking to stay on that side of the building and say, Brad, I want to be a part of that. They're going to leave on Friday, October the 13th, come back on Sunday the 15th. We'll figure out the exact departure and arrival times coming back. But if you say, I want to be a part of that and making a difference, to share the love of Christ with my hands and my feet, you can do that and help share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to do that. That would be an awesome opportunity. You get a pass to miss church on Sunday. It's the only time you get a pass. That's it. So you can do that on October, and vacation, of course. But October the 15th, we would love to see a great group of our team going, a team from our church going to be a part of Mississippi Baptist Disaster Relief and playing a part in helping put lives back together. Greg Mott, the pastor of First Baptist Houston, he says, when the waters recede, we want to see hope rise that finds itself displayed through the love of Christ. Because here's the challenge, folks. Guess who else is on the ground? It's not just Southern Baptist. There is an urgency because there will be Mormons on the ground by the hundreds and thousands. There will be Muslim folks there on the ground. And so we want to be there to share the love of Christ, right? And so you have the opportunity to do that. And we don't know the age limit. I think it may be 16, Shane, but I'm not sure. I'm going to check that. If you have an older teenager you want to go, I'm going to check that to be certain of that. And if it's younger than that, we can come with a guardian or parent. We'll work those things out. So if you want to be a part of that, make sure you see Brad or Eric before you leave. We'll have signups even this next Sunday. One other note to make you aware of, on October the 8th, these were in the bulletin. We just kind of confirmed both of these today. But October the 8th, on Sunday morning, before life groups, so not to have people come back on a Sunday afternoon or another time during the week, Dee McDermott, our ministry assistant, retired back in July and ended her time in August, and we want to honor her. And we figured the best way to honor her, don't know if you know this or not about Dee, but Dee loves coffee. We miss the smell of the freshly ground coffee beans, the good flavored kind, the awful smelling kind we don't miss, but we do remember the good flavored kind. And so we're going to do a coffee and cards with Dee to honor her. She has served as a church secretary for 23 years. Here at our church, she served about 12 and a half-ish. The first 6 months she came back here to our church, back in when I came in 2012, she worked about 60 hours a week. We only had money at the time to pay her for 20. She worked those first 6 months. Basically, we owe her a whole lot of money at the end, and so thankfully she won't turn us into the IRS. And so we want to honor her and thank her. And I know some of you are here before. She retired way back, but she's re-retiring again. And I told her, if you go work at another church, it's bad. We're gonna pull all that stuff back. We're gonna give you. So we've got a gift we want to give to her from the church. But you can bring her Starbucks gift cards or any kind of gift card you want to bless her with. We just want to pour out some love on her and let her know how much we appreciate her years of service and what she's meant to our church family. So we can clap now if you want to. Somebody started to clap. We can say thank you. Absolutely. All right, if you have a copy of God's Word, would you turn to Romans chapter 16? Romans chapter 16. I am so excited about today. We're going to do something we have never done before in our church since I've been pastor anyway. Matter of fact, I've never done it since I've been a pastor. But the Lord put this on my heart that we want to do this today as we talk about the second motive, or not motive, our measure or our marks that we want to talk about today. It's been fun to be a part of a life group from time to time. I'm trying to get in there more and more as I can. And one of the words transform and engaged came up in our life group. And our life group leader, Shane, said, I don't know where I've heard those words before, but I've heard them somewhere. And because that's our mission, right? And I'm going to briefly, just very quickly, that vision frame. Our mission is to engage people with the hope of the gospel, to see lives transform, right? Our map is to connect, grow, commit, and go. Those values, those motives that drive us in who we are and where we're going together, those overwords, right? Life transformation over more information, biblical truth over my opinion, going over staying, investing over consuming, strong families over busy calendars. These important truths that help guide our church family together and how we do what we do in relationship over isolation. This makes up the structure, the DNA of our church, why we do what we do, right? And so we talk about then the last piece we dove into beginning last week is these measures, these marks. How do we know if we're hitting the mark, right? That mission for us is that compass. It helps us know what direction. It's the what. That map is our flashlight. It helps guide the way. Our motives are our fire. What are we passionate about? And then lastly, our target. It's that archery target. target, that bullseye. How do we know when we're hitting the mark of what God has called us to be in Christ Jesus? So these marks, these measures, it's the when. When are we successful? So they're the A through the F. We tried to make it where you could learn these easy to know, and you'll be using these throughout the years to come as kind of the measures, the marks, talking about in discipleship groups and accountability groups of how do we know if I'm really walking with Christ? How do I know if I'm being transformed? Well, here's how we think these six things go. How am I living authentically? Not just am I, but how specifically? Tell it. How am I living authentically? We talked about that last week. Authenticity, being real, being genuine, being who you are in Christ, whether that is broken or whether that is I'm on a mountaintop high, no matter what it might be, and in between, right? Now, we're only authentic typically with a few people, right? We're not asking everybody to come in every single Sunday and pour out your dirty laundry and all the skeletons in your closet. That's not what that means, right? That's not reality because that's not the place to do that. So in a large group setting like this, we rarely do things like that, but from time to time, that might be a reality. Somebody shares their testimony. But more doing life together as we're authentic with one another. We don't play the games of, oh, I've got all my life together, I'm perfect, and hopefully you can relate to me. The reality is nobody can relate to perfection, right? That's why Jesus came. He was perfect, but he was relatable because he suffered in every way we did. He was tempted in every way we were tempted. And so that's the way we are relatable to people. I talked with a young girl this week and talking about she was sharing with her brokenness in her life. Then I told her, I said, listen, I just want to encourage you that everybody that comes in our building, every single person, and there are all kinds of brokenness in this world. Yours may be a more severe in your mind or may have consequences that are different than maybe some others that might walk in our building. But here's the deal. All of us are broken people in need of a Savior. Right? It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you may live on or not live on. It doesn't matter who you are, who your parents were. None of those things matter when we come into the body of Christ. So being authentic. The second we're going to talk about this morning is how am I living biblically? How am I living biblically? These two really tie together because here's the reality. Really, biblically is kind of the glue that holds all the others together. That's really the truth. Because if I'm living biblically, I'll be living authentically. Right? It is the Bible is our one true measurement. It is the guide, the instruction, the only tool we have for transformation is His Word and the Holy Spirit's work in us. Warren Wiersbe says this statement, the way we treat God's word is the way we treat the God of the word. Let me say that statement again. The way we treat God's word is the way we treat the God of the word. One of the reasons why that we're doing our series on Wednesday nights in Refuel, helping people know how to read God's word. Right? How do you read the law? How do you read the prophets? Where the Old Testament can be challenging, it would seem, of how to read that and apply that to your life. So we've dedicated this entire fall on Wednesday nights to talk about how do you read the Word of God? How do you do it and apply it to your life? If you miss some or you say, that sounds interesting to me, we've got them online in our sections under messages. You can go and watch those online. If you teach on Wednesday nights, you can watch those. We've gotten great feedback. This is people saying, this is helping me. I know more about how to read. And all this in preparation for in 2018, we're going to read the Word of God together. I tell this story. My mom, when I did this in my church in Alabama back in 2012, and we began this process, and my mom, maybe the year before that, we talked about reading the Bible. And my mom at the time was in her late 60s, and she said, you know what? I've been a believer my whole life, but I've never read through the entire Bible. She said, I want to go on the journey with your church. I said, man, absolutely, that would be fantastic. And so she began that process and completed for the very first time in her life reading the Word of God, every word of God. And so that's why do we do those things? Because we want people to be able to live biblically. And if you're going to live biblically, guess what? You need to know what the Bible says, right? That makes sense. We value biblical truth over my opinion. We value life transformation over more information. Now, does that mean information is not important? No, it's important. This information found in the Word of God is important. But what we want it to be is transformative in your life, that it informs how you live. It directs how you live. It shows how to live and walk this Christian life. So this one biblically is perhaps the easiest one I'm going to talk about because it's the one that doesn't require a whole lot of explanation. Really, I can narrow it down to this one truth. Jesus said it very well. In John chapter 14, 15, and 18, he really defines what it means to live biblically. He said this, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Real simple. Now notice, it does not say, if you obey my commands, I will love you. Please note that. That's called legalism, right? We love God out of the overflow because he has loved us. First John reminds us that he died for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us while we were still in our sin. He said, I will die for you and for me. And so our response to that, our call is what? To obey him, to do what his word says we should do. So how am I living biblically? You'll notice too, all these have scriptures that go with them, right? You can read these later on. Some great scriptures, some you know and some you may not so well. And a few we're going to refer to. Some statements to think through. How do I know if I'm living biblically, right? What do these say here? That I have a biblical worldview and that shapes how you make daily decisions. That your worldview is not based on anything else other than God's word. How you view the world, how you make decisions is based on the word of God. Secondly, read and seek to apply the Bible to your daily life. Love God deeply and thus is obedient to the word of God in every way and area of your life. Memorize the scripture and uses it in daily life. The Bible is my go-to book to guide my daily decisions. And then lastly, one who studies and seeks to know more about God's word and thus knows more about God himself. Now here's the rating scale. This is a good one here. Our consultant helped us come up with some of this stuff, came up with this one. I love it. It's really, really good. Is your Bible a coffee table book? Right? How many of you have a book on your coffee table? If you have one of those, and that's, if some of you don't know what that is, that's a something that sits in the den that's in between the couch and the TV, right? Okay, some of you have those, some of you don't. But yeah, maybe on a lampstand. How many have a book that sits, this is just fun, that you have on your lamp or stand or on your, right there in the little coffee table that you've never read, never looked at it? Pick it, raise your hand. Just fun. Oh, come on. Some of you got a decorated book on there you never looked at. Your wife put a book, right? I had a book that somebody gave us as a wedding present, right? It had a bunch of, this is going to hurt Annabeth's feelings. But anyway, it's an art book, right? And it's an art book of, what's that art guy's name? What's the Mississippi author? I gave you the book, Annabeth. Walter Anderson, right? Thank you. He's a Mississippi artist, right? That's how much I love Annabeth. And it was a coffee table book, and it sat there on our table, and it was so beautiful. But here's my deal. I don't understand art. Like, when I go to the art museum, and this is some of you love, you go to the museum and you stand there, and I'm standing there, I'm thinking, what are these people thinking? I want to look like I know what I'm doing, so I kind of stand there and, and it's these weird, abstract things. Now, some of your art, thank God for that, because we would have, if I did decorations in our church, it would be very sad, very, very sad. But art people love art. And so that book was doing no good, right? It was collecting what? Dust, right? Or is your Bible a cookbook, right? Now, some of you, you've been cooking so long, you don't use a cookbook. I know. But that's even more appropriate. Do you know the Word of God as well as you know your recipes, that you don't even have to look at it, you know it? Or is that recipe book when you're facing something you need to do, you pull it off the shelf because it's a part of your life? How would you rate yourself with that, with the Word of God? 1 to 10. This week, this month, this year, has it been a table, coffee table book that looks really nice, but has a lot of dust on it? Or is it something that is worn, the pages are worn? I was so excited. My wife gave me a present a couple of years ago, I guess maybe 2 years ago. My Bible, it was completely falling apart. The binding had come apart. And it's a whole lot cheaper to buy a new Bible. Let me just warn you ahead of time. It is expensive to have your Bible rebound. But this thing is so precious to me. I've had this since 1991. I had one in high school I got, and I left it at a hotel on a mission trip, and somebody's been blessed with it somewhere down the line that decided they wanted it worse than I did. So, but this is precious to me because it has my life in it. There's things I've underlined and circled and squared and starred and put notes beside it, and I don't let anybody usually use my Bible because I have notes about myself in there, because it's what it means to live biblically. Now, before you think of the preacher, well, preacher, you must always have this as a cookbook because you're a preacher. You read the Bible every day. You memorize 45 verses a week. That's all you have time to do. I mean, really, kids say, what do? I just tell them, I memorize verses all day. That's what I do all day. I just sit in the study and I hum and I just memorize the word. And I memorize my sermons. No, that's not what I do. And some days, the preacher, sometimes outside of doing sermon time, that doesn't count, might miss a day of reading or two or three. And I've been in those desert moments, just like you have been, where it's been weeks since I picked up the Bible. I'm ashamed to tell you that. I'm not saying it's braggadocious, but I'm just trying to be authentic. right? Because some of us look at preachers or other people that seem super godly and think, wow, you know, like I asked Dr. Dan Caldwell, you know, Dan, do you ever really sin? Seriously, I mean, have you ever sinned? You know, he was, of course I have, and I was being funny, but we look at people, we think, well, they don't understand where I'm at. I understand what it's like to struggle to get up early enough to read the Word of God. I understand what it's like to apply it to your life. I understand what it's like to struggle to memorize God's Word. I'm terrible at memorizing. But then again, I'm really not, because I can sing lyrics to lots of songs. So I really can't memorize. It's just a matter of how many times do I read it and allow it to saturate my brain, right? Living biblically. Are you living biblically? I want us to read from Romans quickly. Just three thoughts quickly, and then we're going to do something very unique and very special this morning. Romans chapter 16. We'll look at verse 25. We're going to look at the conclusion of Paul's letter to the church at Rome and see what he says to them in three thoughts. And now to him who is able to do establish you according to my gospel. Paul's referring to the gospel of God, right? He says my gospel. He's talking about the gospel of Jesus. And the teaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment, a command made known to all nations, leading to obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, the glory forever. Amen. Three thoughts about this truth that helps us think about living biblically. Number one, the idea about the Bible, it has been revealed. It has been revealed. It was fleshed out by Jesus. It was made known to all nations. What is this mystery he's talking about? In the Old Testament days, they didn't really completely understand, because God was revealing pictures of what the Messiah was going to become. And so the whole gospel had not been revealed until Jesus came and lived and died and rose again. And then, all of a sudden, they all have these aha moments, like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And what does Jesus do to help them get the gospel? He quotes and he tells them the stories from the law and the prophets. And the Bible says their hearts burned within them, and their eyes were open to see all that they had been listening to and heard and read in their growing up years. All of a sudden they go, Jesus is the fulfillment of those prophecies. He is the Messiah. That is the gospel. Jesus didn't come in the dark. He did it so everyone can see it, and now everybody can experience it. You don't have to have some special knowledge. You don't have to be a super spiritual person. You don't have to be a moral person to get the gospel. You simply have to be willing to receive the gospel into your heart and to your life. And here's the deal, too. The gospel doesn't just save us and leave us there. It brings about transformation. Now, we can't transform ourselves. You can't transform your kids. You can't transform your spouse, right? You can't transform them no more than you can transform yourself. Who has to do that? The Holy Spirit. As we yield ourselves to the gospel, for him to do that transformative work in his life. How do we know how to live this life? We find the guidance in the Word of God. So living biblically, does my life measure up to the Word of God? And all of us would say, well, no, of course it doesn't. But we find the hope and the encouragement and the strength to live this life through the power of the Holy Spirit. It has been revealed. Secondly, not only has it been revealed, it demands a response. And this is the key crux of this text here. Don't miss it. If there's nothing else you get this, right? When we went to school sometimes in high school or college, and your teacher says you got to learn this, and if you had to take a test on it the next week, a lot of us would struggle to remember what we learned, right? We did a quick memorization. We did a cram at night. I know none of y'all do this, but students, right? Any of you students do this? They're cramming right now on their exams. Y'all are in the Word. Y'all are on it. I love all of you. I do. I just put your phones up. It's okay. Anyway, so now parents are going, is it my child? It's not. Just don't worry. They're just all in their Word. They're in Romans 16. It's all good. So in that test, though, students, when you're doing your test. Hi. So in that text right there, right, you see something. Did you have any of you cram for a test before? Your parents aren't looking. Raise your hand. Go ahead. They're not looking. They're turning a blind eye. Because you know what? They did too. Didn't you, Mom and Dad? Now, some of you are really smart, so you'd have never studied at all. And we just want to tell you, we don't like you. My dad was one of those people. He looked at a book and bam, he had it and made straight A's. Okay? If you are that blessed like that, God bless you, and may you find the cure for cancer. Okay? Seriously, may you find the cure for all the diseases in the world. May you find the way to make a car fly, whatever. That's fantastic. I just can't do that, right? So most of us, if we cram, we're going to forget it. You know, a lot of us do on Sundays, we cram. I didn't have that written down. That's a good Holy Spirit moment, students. Listen, so we cram. We get, well, I'm going to get a lot of God today because I'm not going to get any God the rest of the week. So I got to pour it all in today and hope it lasts until at least maybe Wednesday. And that's why we have spiritually anemic believers who struggle to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit because this is not a part of our lives. The Holy Spirit taking this scripture and making it come to life in our lives. You see, the Bible says here, these scriptures lead to faith in what? Obedience. We were in staff meeting talking about this, and we all broke out into the wonderful invitation hymn, and it's a great one. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, right? Simple song. We sang it. We can sing it off. Some of you have sung it 50 million times. I have. But here's the reality. Do we trust and obey? Is it a cookbook or is it a coffee table book? How do I know? Are you reading it? Are you memorizing it? Is it part of your life? And then you know. It leads to obedience. It leads to that call that Jesus gave to his disciples to take up your cross daily, to deny yourself and follow him. The third thought, it brings results. It brings results. What do you mean it brings results? The Bible says here in verse 27 that the glory goes to the Lord. Praise and glory to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ. The Westminster Catechism, we talk about life groups and said this statement. It says this, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to fully enjoy him forever. Folks, sometimes people want to present the Bible as a way, it's a bunch of rules, it's a bunch of regulations, it's a bunch of way to make your life miserable and sad. Let me give you a word of encouragement. This is the way to make your life joyful and full and abundant. Never forget my friend Jerry Pipes telling a story about having a conversation with a teenager who is in rehab. And he talked about, I don't like the God who tells me what I can and I cannot do. I want to be free. And so I can do whatever I want to do. I can live my life however I want to live my life. I'm free. And Jerry looked at him with all the love that he had in his mind. He said, son, if you're so free, why in 5 minutes am I going to walk out of this door a free man and you're going to be stuck here? You see, the reality, that was not a slam against him, it was to help him think through. The reality is, what Satan promises is freedom only brings enslavement. That's the reality. The Bible teaches us. So what is our call? To bring glory to God's name. And as we live biblically, that is exactly what the end result is. As we share God's word with other people, as we share what God is doing in our lives, then it brings glory to God. When people look at your life and see that you are living according to God's word, you know what? They're going to say, well, why do you live that way? Why do you make that choice? Why didn't you go to the party Friday night? Why don't you use those words everybody else uses? Why don't you talk about your friends and your parents like everybody else does? You're so stuck up. You're such a prude. Mom and Dad, why didn't you let your kid go to that particular place? Mom and Dad, why didn't you go to that place? Why do you do your job the way you do your job? And you're able to tell them, because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And he's given me an instruction of how to live and a way to live. And listen to me, students. It's not always going to be popular. Your friends are not going to stand and applaud you and say, way to stand for God. You know what they're going to do? They're going to make fun of you. They're going to try to encourage you to get down to their level. But may you be challenged and encouraged by the power of the Holy Spirit to rise up and live according to the standards of God's word. It won't be easy. Your moms and dads can tell you. It's not easy being an adult standing for God either, is it, moms and dads? The pressure to conform, the pressure to be popular and to be accepted and to be everybody like you. It's there for them just as much as it is for you. The question is, do we live biblically? There is a result It brings glory to God. There is a requirement. It demands a response. We live out in obedience of faith, and it has been revealed by the Word of God. The Word of God is precious. We've been talking about it on Wednesday nights. 66 books written by multiple authors over thousands of years all declare one story, right? Everything you read in the Word of God, the stories in the Old Testament, the prophets, the law, the Psalms and Proverbs, we're going to talk about this Wednesday night, all of them are pointing to one story, the story of the coming of Jesus Christ. And His Word is to be so precious to us. That's why in our Baptist faith and message, we believe that the Word of God is infallible. It is exactly as God would have it to be. I believe it from Genesis to the maps. Now, we can all say that easily, but here's the question. If I believe it in such a strong fashion, then do I live it? Psalm 119. We find this scripture, which we're going to read in just a moment. So if you've got a copy of God's Word, go ahead and turn to Psalm 119, right? Psalm 119, I want to let you know, has several important things about it. There are eight words that appear to describe the Word of God. In these eight words, these words are law, testimony, precept, statute, commandment, judgment, word, and promise. Out of 176 verses, listen to this, only seven of them do not directly mention the Word of God. This Psalm 119 is in the center of your Bible. People will tell you if you're trying to find a book of the Bible, go to Psalm, and Psalm 119 is the middle of the Bible. Why is that so important? Because you know what this psalm talks about? The importance of the Word of God. Now, what we're going to do this morning is a little bit different. We're going to read Psalm 119. And we've got 22 different people that are going to read Psalm 119 from all ages, from young to old and in between. And I want you to hear the Word of God. I want you to follow along in your Bible. It'll be on the screen as well. But circle the places where you see the Word of God appear, right? It's powerful. We're going to read it from, they're going to be reading from the New Living Translation. And I want you to hear the passion, this author's voice and what he says. And one other thing too, just quickly, there's 22 sections of this scripture which relates to the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And in this thing, we talked about poetry on Wednesday night. This is a poem of types because every sentence begins with the letter that it corresponds with in that section. So Alex is going to read in just a moment the word Aleph, which is the first letter in the Hebrew Bible. And you don't have to read those words, by the way, readers, the Hebrew word, just the text, okay? But it's Aleph, and every line begins with that letter, Aleph. It's a cool thing. All right, so if you're number two, number three, come on to place, and we're going to let you come into those microphones, and we'll begin to read together. So listen to the Word of God read over you, and may it bless us and God today. Alex, you start us.
All right. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey His laws and search for Him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil. They walk only in His paths. You have charged us to keep Your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect Your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with Your commands. As I learn Your righteous regulations, I will thank You by living as I should. I will obey Your decrees. Please don't give up on me.
How can a young person stay pure? By obeying Your word. I have tried hard to find You. Don't let me wander from Your commands. I have hidden Your word in my heart that I may not sin against You. I praise You, O Lord. Teach me Your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations You have given us. I rejoiced in Your laws as much as in riches. I will study Your commandments and reflect on Your ways. I will delight in Your decrees and not forget Your word.
Be good to Your servant that I may live and obey Your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in Your instructions. I am only a foreigner in the land. Don't hide Your commands from me. I am always overwhelmed with a desire for Your regulations. You rebuke the arrogant. Those who wander from your commands are cursed. Don't let them scorn and insult me, for I have obeyed your laws. Even princes sit and speak against me, but I will meditate on your decrees. Your laws please me. They give me wise advice.
I lie in the dust. Revive me by your word. I told you my plans, and you answered. Now teach me your decrees. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word. Keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. I have chosen to be faithful. I have determined to live by your regulations. I cling to your laws. Lord, don't let me be put to shame. I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding.
Teach me your decrees, O Lord. I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all my heart. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Give me an eagerness for your laws rather than a love for money. Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. Reassure me with your promise made to those who fear you. Help me abandon my shameful ways, for your regulations are good. I long to obey your commandments. Renew my life with your goodness.
Lord, give me your unfailing love, the salvation that you promised me. Then I can answer those who taunt me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch your word of truth from me, for your regulations are my only hope. I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. I will speak to kings about your laws, and I will not be ashamed. How I delight in your commands, how I love them. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees.
Remember your promise to me. It is my only hope. Your promise revives me. It comforts me in all my troubles. The proud hold me in utter contempt, but I do not turn away from your instructions. I meditate on your age-old regulations. Lord, they comfort me. I become furious with the wicked because they reject your instructions. Your decrees have been the theme of my songs wherever I have lived. I reflect at night on who you are, O Lord. Therefore, I obey your instructions. This is how it's been my life, obeying your commandments.
Lord, you are mine. I promise to obey your words. With all my heart, I want your blessings. Be merciful as you promised. I pondered the direction of my life, and I turned to follow your laws. I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. Evil people try to drag me into sin, but I am firmly anchored to your instructions. I rise at midnight to thank you for your just regulations. I am a friend to anyone who fears you, anyone who obeys your commandments. O Lord, your unfailing love fills the earth. Teach me your decrees.
You have done many good things for me, Lord, just as you promised. I believe in your commands, and I teach me good judgment and knowledge. I used to wander off until you disciplined me. But now I closely follow your word. You are good and do only good. Teach me your decrees. Arrogant people smear me with lies, but in truth I obey your commandments with all my heart. Their hearts are dull and stupid, but I delight in your instructions. My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. Your instructions are more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver.
You made me, you created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. May all who fear you find in me a cause for joy, for I've put my hope in your word. I know, O Lord, that your regulations are fair. You disciplined me because I needed it. Now let your unfailing love comfort me, just as you promised me your servant. Surround me with your tender mercies so I may live, for your instructions are my delight. Bring disgrace upon the arrogant people who lied about me. Meanwhile, I will concentrate on your commandments. Let me be united with all who fear you, with those who know your laws. May I be blameless in keeping your decrees, that I will never be ashamed.
I am worn out in waiting for your rescue, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes are straining to see your promises come true. When will you comfort me? I am shriveled like a wineskin in the smoke, but I have not forgotten to obey your decrees. How long must I wait? When will you punish those who persecute me? Those arrogant people who hate your instructions have dug deep pits to trap me. All your commands are trustworthy. Protect me from those who hunt me down without cause. They almost finished me off, but I refuse to abandon your commandments. In your unfailing love, spare my life. Then I can continue to obey your laws.
Your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. Your faithfulness extends to every generation, enduring as the earth you created. Your regulations remain true to this day, for everything serves your plans. If your instructions hadn't sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery. I will never forget your commandments, for by them you give me life. I am yours. Rescue me, for I have worked hard at obeying your commands. Though the wicked hide along the way to kill me, I will quietly keep my mind on your laws. Even perfection has its limits, but your commands have no limit.
Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. I am wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I have refused to walk on any evil path, so I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. The commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life.
Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. I promised it once, and I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. I have suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again as you promised. Lord, accept my offering of praise and teach me your regulations. My life consistently hangs in balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. The wicked have set their traps for me, but I will not turn from your commandments. Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight. I am determined to keep your decrees to the very end.
I hate those who divided loyalties, but I love your instructions. You are my refuge and my shield. Your words are in my source of hope. Get out my life, you evil-minded people. I intend to obey the commands of my God. Lord, sustain me as you promise that I may live. Do not let my hope be crushed. Sustain me and I will be rescued. Then I will meditate consistently on your decrees. But when you have rejected all who stray from your decrees, they are only fooling themselves. You skim off the wicked of the earth like scum. No wonder I love to obey your laws. I tremble in fear of you. I stand in awe of your regulations.
Don't let me leave me to the mercy of the enemies, for I have done what is just and right. Please guarantee a blessing for me. Don't let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes strain to see your rescue, to see the truth of your promise fulfilled. I am a servant. Deal with me in unfailing love and teach me the decrees. Give me discernment to me, your servant. Then I will understand your laws. Lord, it is time for you to act, for these evil people have violated your instructions. Truly, I have your commands. For more than gold, even the finest gold, each of your commandments is right. That is why I hate every day false way.
Your laws are wonderful. No wonder I obey them. The teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand. I pant with expectations, long for your commands. Come and show me your mercy as you do for all who love you, your name. Guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil. Ransom me from the oppression of evil people. Then I can obey your commandments. Look upon me with love. Teach me your decrees. Rivers of tears gush from my eyes because people disobey your instructions.
O Lord, you are righteous, and your regulations are fair. Your laws are perfect and completely trustworthy. I am overwhelmed with indignation, for my enemies have disregarded your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested. That is why I love them so much. I am despised, but I do not forget your commandments. Your justice is eternal, and your instructions are perfectly true. As pressure and stress bears down, I find joy in your commandments. Your laws are always right. Help me understand so I may live by them.
I pray with all my heart, answer me, Lord. I will obey your decrees. I cry out to you, rescue me that I may obey your laws. I rise up early before the sun is up. I cry out for help and put my hope in your words. I stay awake through the night thinking about your promise. In your faithful love, O Lord, hear my cry. Let me be revived by following your regulations. Lawless people are coming to attack me. They live far from your instructions, but you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. I have known from the earliest days that your laws will last forever.
Look upon my suffering and rescue me, for I have not forgotten your instructions. Argue my case, take my side. Protect my life as you promised. The wicked are far from rescue, for they do not bother with your decrees. Lord, how great is your mercy. Let me be revived by following your regulations. Many prosecute and trouble me, yet I have not swerved from your laws. Seeing these traitors makes me sick at heart, because they care nothing for your word. See how I love your commandments, Lord. Give back my life because of your unfailing love. The very essence of your words is truth. All your just regulations will stand forever.
Powerful people harass me without cause, but my heart trembles only at your word. I rejoice in your word, like one who discovers a great treasure. I hate and abhor all falsehood, but I love your instructions. I will praise you 7 times a day because all your regulations are just. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. I long for your rescue, Lord, so I have obeyed your commands. I have obeyed your laws, for I love them very much. Yes, I obey your commands and laws because you know everything I do.
O Lord, listen to my cry. Give me the discerning mind you promised. Listen to my prayer. Rescue me as you promised. Let praise flow from my lips, for you have taught me your decrees. Let my tongue sing about your word, for all your commandments are right. Give me a helping hand, for I have chosen to follow your commandments. O Lord, I have longed for your rescue, and your instructions are my delight. Let me live so I can praise you, and may your regulations help me. I have wandered away like a lost sheep. Come and find me, for I have not forgotten your commands.
The Word of God. Hearing it from different voices, children, teenagers, adults. Maybe this week, I don't know what to read. We'll read 2 or 3 sections of this Psalm 119. Maybe some verses jumped out at you. Are God's words sweeter than honey to you? Are they worth more than millions of dollars in gold? Even our preschoolers right now are learning God's word. My 3-year-old came home Wednesday night. She's working on her verse this month. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you. So it was aptly this time this week that the thing she fears the most, thunder, right? Well, fortunately, I rescue her, and so I'm her hero. That's what she tells me. You're my hero, Daddy. You rescued me from the thunder. I said, but I want you to understand something, baby. Listen, I said, you remember that verse you learned? You don't have to be afraid of anything. Because if Daddy's not with you, guess who's always with you? God. You see, the Word of God applies to a 3-year-old all the way to a 93-year-old. Some questions to ask ourselves as we close this morning. To think, help you think through, am I living biblically? How do you or do you read God's word? Do you read it? Do you receive and rely on God's word? Do you reach for it? Do you yearn and long for God's word? And do you constantly return to his word? Not just in the morning or at night, but throughout the day. Do we regard, treasure, and rejoice in God's word? Do we respond to God's word? In the journey this morning, the challenge, the call to make disciples, will we respond to it? Will we respond to God's word in just a moment during our time of invitation? Do you rest in God's word? Do you represent, radiate, and reproduce God's word? Do we retain, memorize God's word? Do we resist or rebel against God's word? Do we allow God's word to do these things? Regenerate us, reprove and refine us, refresh and revive us, remind and reassure us, and to restore us. God, I thank you this morning for your word. Lord, your word says that it is powerful and a two-edged sword that pierces both soul and marrow. In other words, Lord, it pierces into the depths of our heart. I pray as we have read your word, we read your word for 15 minutes this morning. Lord, for some, that's more than they've spent this entire week in your word. And so, Lord, I pray these words that they've heard would saturate into their heart and life. They would hear the passion of the writer of this psalm that pleads with you, Lord, give me hope. Lord, there are people who are against me. There are people who don't like me. There are people who stand against me. Lord, give me hope as I find it in your word. I pray for some this morning to find that hope in your word who don't know you as Savior and Lord. I pray you would give your people a fresh hunger to know you and know your word. Because Lord, we know your word, we know you. And Lord, we can say all day long we love you, but if we don't love your word, we don't really love you. So Lord, may we fall in love with your word because it helps us fall in love with you. We would live biblically. We would walk in obedience. Lord, that last R was not on that list, but Lord, your word brings us to repentance. Lord, the word of God says your kindness leads us to repentance. And so for some of us this morning, we just need to, Father, get on our knees or right there in our chair and say, God, I repent. I have not lived biblically, but I really, really desire to do that. God, help me to do that. So for some this morning, it's just to make not a commitment or recommitment, Lord, just to say, Lord, I want to be in your word this week. Every day, I want to be in your word. And I would treasure it in my heart and hide it that I may not sin against you. That it would be like sweet honey. It would be like worth to me more than millions of dollars. It would feed my soul and give me hope. When I pray for the person who doesn't know you, to give them that hope, that they would simply pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I admit to you I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe you're the Son of God. You loved me and came and gave your life for me. You died and you rose again. And today I confess you as my Savior. Lord, I need you to save me. I cannot save myself. And I commit my life to you as Lord. I pray for any person who needs to make that their prayer this morning. They would do that this morning. For somebody to come and be baptized this morning. They never made that public. They would come this morning. For somebody to join this church family and say, yes, I want to be a part of this body of believers. God, thank you for that blessed assurance we have in you. We can rest in you as we worship you this morning in response to your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand together? Let's respond.